So, George, you were going to tell me a bit about the way in which your photography in Japan got you started and set certain patterns for you in your later work. Why don't you talk about that?
On my days off and all that, I had an old roller cord, and I started to photograph the people on the streets. You know, the child, the homeless people, the old people, the Japanese veterans. You know, with their legs cut off and things like that, walking down the street. And I think it was there my this, I think this whole documentary style type of photography kind of evolved at that time for me. I was what drew me to it, you know, to take these type of pictures. I mean, and disregard other types of photographs, you know, taking pictures of ships or whatever in a harbor or something. I concentrated on the people on the streets of Tokyo, and I think that was kind of the beginning of my photographic life. I actually felt then this is what I want to do with my life, you know. And later on, when I was offered other jobs and all that, I kind of turned them down and stayed with photography. But I think this was the beginning of my photographic endeavors.
Now, had you, I don't think we ever talked about that, but had you done a little bit of photography growing up here in Lansford at a high
Very,
school
very
age?
little, because, like I said, you know, we didn't have any money, or we had no money for film or anything like that. I had an old camera. Rose, I think, gave me an old Kodak that I fiddled around with, and I actually developed some film, you know, up in the attic and all that, in trays and all that. But I never did anything seriously. The only pictures I really took, but we had this boxing club up at Holmes that I mentioned. I took some of the boxers and all that, but I think I have one pictures of that whole group of Jouch McLaughlin. He's about the only one I have of that whole series. And then when I went to the CCs, believe it or not, I never took a picture, and I never had a camera. We never had, like I said, we never had money for film and all that, so it was a matter of not being able to afford photography. Just like years back around here, many people never got into photography because it was out of their means. Buying a camera, buying film, getting, how do you get it processed, you know, and things like that. And I never did any in the CCs, and when I went to Hawaii, I didn't do very much there either, because we had blackouts most of the time, you know, at night especially. And to be walking around camp with a camera in different places, and, you know, when a place was under martial law, it wasn't a very smart thing to do. So I did pick up a little camera later on, the C3 Arcus or something, did a few things around the beach and all that, but never nothing serious.
So your first real serious photography came when you went to Japan.
Yeah, after I became a photographer and became part of the photo lab there, and then of course later I became head of the photo lab, and we processed a lot of aerial films and things like that. And there was a squadron that was doing aerial work. We processed the film. We saw a lot of aerial pictures.
That would have been, in some sense, reconnaissance, or?
Yes, reconnaissance. Yeah. And mapping and things like that. Yeah. I remember seeing very vividly all the pictures of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, you know, and in detail, you know, and stuff like that, and how it affected me, you know. And I want to get back to there about the pictures I did on the rocks too, you know. And I, when we had the scare in the 60s, you know, the Cold War and all that, you know, and how all these pictures of net cities being blown up and being leveled, you know, how they affected my feeling maybe 15, 20 years later, you know, and how I felt about if someone should happen to drop 100 atomic bombs on us, what would happen to us, you know, and things like that. So we'll get back to that
Yeah,
later
okay.
on.
So now you took photography in your last months. Took a fair number of photographs around the streets.
And when I got back to the States, life I don't know if I mentioned this, Life had that contest and for young photographers, and I had sent them the pictures of my street photographs of Tokyo, and I was one of the six finalists, and of course I didn't make it, but Dennis Stock became their, the deal there was that you would get a job with Life.
If you won the contest?
If you won a contest, yeah, they would hire you. And I didn't get it, but...
Did they publish a couple of your Tokyo photos?
No, but I have the letters and all that I was one of the finalists, you know. And it was quite an honor, too, because I imagine they got quite a few. And they were a neat set. I think I had about 12 or 15 photographs of this people, children, you know. A couple outstanding pictures of old women pushing carts, you know. And buildings that were damaged, all you could see is the steel pilings and all that, and in the water, and looking down into the water, you know, the women. And all. So it was kind of, they were kind of interesting pictures and all that, a lot of emotion, you know.
So Tokyo had a real bombed out look, or parts
of it
did.
Well, it was kind of devastated, yeah. It was pretty well, yeah, the buildings were flattened, you know, and the area around the railroad station was completely all gutted, you know, and that's right downtown Tokyo.
You would have been taking these photos in 1946?
Yeah, 46 and 40, early, then the first part of 47, yeah. There was a little building going on. It was mostly cleaning out. People were, I have a lot of shots of people moving stones and bricks and things like that, you know, and
trying to salvage parts that might be reused.
Yeah, clean the place up and all that, yeah. And there was very few vehicles on the road, just maybe some coal-fired trucks and things like that. But most everything was moved with buggies, two-wheel buggies, and hand pushed and all that, you know. So, but that was the start of my photography, I would say. And I had mentioned about trying to get into the art center, and the reason I did that, there was a fellow, one of the fellows at the lab was from New York City, who was there prior to me, who was the job, I took his job, and he got me interested in the art center and photography as far as an art form. And I learned to speak, you know, how to operate the speed graphic from him, because I never went to school, photography school. And he would take his camera out and take two or three holders and take four shots. He said, that's enough. You'll go out all day and take four shots. If you can't find four, some days he'd come back and take only two, you know. He was very critical, you know.
The speed graphic was a 4x5 format?
4x5 speed graphic was a standard camera that was issued to all the combat photographers or army photographers and stuff. And later on, it was the news, the standard for the news photography in the United States too, you know, in the 40s. And
somehow I think I can visualize that camera in films, in old films.
Yeah, well, if you're familiar with the photographs of Ouija, the New York photographer, you know, the street photographer who photographed a lot of robberies and murders on the streets and all that, you'll see him standing there with this speed graphic with this big flash gun, you know, and it was the standard, 4x5. You had your holders and no roll film, and you had to pull the slide and cock the shutter and put the flash bulb in and everything. You had to do a lot of thinking, you know. It's not like nowadays.
So you can see why a person would say that he would take four pictures in a day and not four rolls of pictures in a day.
Yeah, well, the reason why he did that, too, he tried to train himself just to take exactly what he wanted, make sure the light was right, make sure the composition was right and everything else. And that way, it's like nowadays, you go out and set a big view camera up with 8x10 or something. You want to make sure everything's right, you know, because, you know, you can't take a lot of pictures. You take two or three, and that's it. And, it's a different type of photography, but then when the small cameras come out, naturally, you know, like with Life magazine, they just, you know, shot a lot of 35mm film, and, to get, they were more interested in getting an emotion or expression or something, you know, than they were composition or something like that. So if they could get that one one shot that, that told the story, they were happy, whether it took them two rolls or three rolls or whatever it was.
And there's something that's a, potentially a little more spontaneous
yes.
about that. It's a
right.
little
well,
less
it's a just, yeah,
set up.
That's right. Yeah, you're not setting your camera up on a tripod or something. Everything is moving. And sometimes they're right in the middle, there's something that really grabs you, you know, and that's the one they use.